Good afternoon. It is a Monday, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Monday, and we couldn't say that last week. April the 18th, 2016. Scott Spears along with Terry Tack at this hour. And coming up next hour, don't forget, as we do each and every Monday, we will visit with the Powell psychic, Lynn White, who will take your phone calls on anything under the sun. She will talk about love life, financial future, people who are no longer here, so on and so forth, coming up next hour, 1:10 to 2 p.m. today here on WWGH Radio. But Terry, how was your weekend?
Pretty good. Yours?
Pretty good. It was a good weekend. Beautiful. How could that weekend not be a good weekend?
The weather was fabulous. I mean, it did a complete 360 of what it was last weekend.
Absolutely. Completely in the opposite direction of where we had been in the past. And maybe spring has sprung, because I was looking at the weather this week. We're supposed to have about a 10-degree drop tomorrow, but that 10-degree drop's only down to about 70 degrees, which is certainly not cold weather for April in Ohio.
All right.
So if the rest of the week's like that, okay.
I'll take it.
60s and 70s are absolutely fine.
Perfect for me.
It was the 40s last week, and in the 20s overnight.
I know my furnace cranked still last week. Now this week I was able to turn it down a little bit, but
it's a little different.
Yeah.
The whole thing is in a whole different ball of wax.
That's right.
Now, as far as the world goes, how are you dealing?
Oh, I don't know.
Anything catching you? Tomorrow's the big New York primary.
Right. I've been listening to bits and pieces of it, you know, as far as with Hillary and Bernie and, of course, the whole Donald Trump thing and Kasich, you know, still making his case.
Well, here's something to talk about. Now, there's a lot to talk about from last week, which we're going to get into, but let's just talk about the New York primary very quickly. Looks like Donald Trump, as I saw, is 99% favored to win tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, that's really no surprise, I don't think. And Hillary is still leading. As a matter of fact, she got comfortable after the debate last week and even went to the West Coast and campaigned over the weekend. But the elbows got a little sharp at the debate on Thursday between Hillary and Bernie. What do you make of that?
He was kind of going for the jugular a little bit there, man.
I think he knows if he loses New York, it's hard for him, even if he wins New York, to win the nomination.
Right.
But why do you think people are still on the Bernie train? Why haven't people got that doubt that there is no way this can happen?
I just think he's appealing to a different group of people every week. I mean, you know, maybe it's some people that he didn't appeal to the week before that have maybe kind of either got off the Donald Trump train or...
But why can't he win in the big states? And why can't he win in the South? You know, he can win Michigan, and he can win Wyoming, and he can win... But he can't win New York, and he can't win Ohio, and he can't win Florida, and he can't win North and South Carolina. And he can't win Texas.
Is it one of those things that where people just in those areas just don't know him? Or, I mean...
Media coverage in Ohio is the same
I don't know. I don't know. Then, of course, you got Kasich said he's going to ride it out till the end.
I see him on television, and the more I do, I don't understand.
He says he's the nice guy or whatever.
But what he's basically saying is, I'm out here campaigning, and the truth is he probably will finish second in New York, but that's only because Ted Cruz insulted all New Yorkers by saying that there was a New York morality issue. So he's not going to finish well there. But Ted Cruz, you stop paying attention. And again, they were those outlying states where Bernie's winning. But Ted Cruz has won 5 of the last 6 Republican primaries.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
But one thing also, too, I'd like to address, and I hear it all the time, and maybe you have an answer for this. What is the status of the indictment as far as Hillary?
Oh, see, I think it's bad to even bring that up. Because here's why.
Because
I don't believe it exists. I believe it's something that people are bringing up to keep... It's an outlier.
Okay.
Because truth of the matter is, let's say you go out and murder somebody tonight, okay? You're going to be indicted tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, sitting here, I don't know that you're going to be indicted tomorrow. But if you go out and kill somebody tonight, you'll be indicted tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've been harping this email thing now 4 months this year, since she announced, what was it, last May? We've been harping on it for 7 months last year. So almost a year. Next month we've been harping on this thing a year. She's still not indicted. What are they going to do? Wait for the day before the election and indict her? Or the day after?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I don't think she's ever going to be indicted, because if you look, none of the information that she sent out was really harmful to the country. And there has been no proof at this point yet that anything that she ever sent out was fell into false hands, which is what they keep, oh, you know, you put us at risk. But don't you think by now, this is now 4 years ago, she hasn't been Secretary of State for nearly 4 years. Don't you think in 4 years somebody would have gotten that information and used it against us or her?
Somewhere along the line.
Hasn't happened. And Colin Powell, who was Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, the two before her, both said they did the exact same thing. They used personal email.
So if you're going to indict one, you shouldn't.
Colin Powell and Condoleezza are right behind her.
I just get so tired of hearing that. Well, Hillary's going to end up in jail. And
well, it's people who don't like her. If you find somebody, I guarantee you this, if you find somebody who likes her and who's going to vote for her, or you find somebody who's undecided, they won't say that. The people who are saying that are the people who have already made up their mind, indictment or not, mm-hmm. that they don't want her. And I hate to say this, I think there's a big fear factor against Hillary Clinton. I think the people who hate her, because have you ever noticed there's such a hate toward her? Now, Donald Trump's hate, we can all trace back. He said some pretty nasty stuff. To find out his hate is not hard to do. Hillary, her hate, what did she ever do that was so hateful?
Yeah.
But people hate her with the same vigorance.
Right.
Now, the reason is, I think because their hate is more based in fear.
Yeah.
They know she can win. I mean, look at her credentials.
Well, and that's the point I keep trying to bring up to everybody is for the qualifications, you know, Secretary of State, First Lady for, you know.
And I'm not saying I'm a Hillary fan, but I'm saying when you have been First Lady of the United States for 8 years, when you have been Senator of the biggest, largest city on planet Earth, senator from that state, for 8 years, and then you were Secretary of State for 4 years, who's got qualifications like that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, the other thing that bothers me, too, and I don't know, I want you to weigh in on this, too, is, of course, you always hear a lot of times, too, people's like, oh, we got to take this country back.
From who?
When did we ever lose it?
Well, you know, I what I really resent is we've got to make America great again. We're not great right now.
I mean,
what are we?
Yeah, we're
bad.
Chopped
Army, yeah. You know, I remember after September 11th, George W. Bush stood on a heap of that building, dead bodies under there, pieces of people, the next day with a firefighter and said, "We are America, and they're going to hear from us, and everybody's going to hear from us." With the megaphone standing out there. Okay, we are great. You're not going to do this to us.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened in the last 15 years that mm-hmm. we are no longer great?
Yeah. We've had, I mean, as far as major attacks like that, we've had zero.
Zero.
Yeah. And we got the perpetrator.
Absolutely.
We think of the attacks.
And killed him right through the head.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know, I mean, that's...
But again, we're going to make people great again in Donald Trump's theory by torturing people, waterboarding people...
Building walls.
Breaking international law, separating people from their children, throwing them out of the country. That's how you make America great again. Because I don't remember America being that at any point.
Right.
Do you?
No.
Give us a call, 740-3839. Where do people want to go back to? Now, do you want to go back to 68 when we were murdering people who were running for president, like Bobby Kennedy and civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X? Or maybe you want to go back to 63 when we gunned down a president in the street? Or maybe you want to go back to the Watts riots of the 60s? Or maybe you want to go back to separate but equal bathrooms in the 50s? Or maybe you want to go back to the 30s and the Great Depression? Or maybe you want to go back to the 70s when the president was creating criminal acts and had to resign? Or maybe you want to go back to the 70s when Jimmy Carter, when we were in a malaise and gas prices and inflation were at an all-time high? Or maybe you want to go back to the Vietnam War? Where is it you want to go back that was great?
Well, when I posed that question to people, I said, what's wrong? You know, the guy goes on a tirade. Oh, he said our debt and blah, 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 and blah, 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 Barack Obama and blah, blah, you know.
Okay, well, they don't like Barack Obama. That's understand. You can have your political opinion, but the debt.
I couldn't get him to nail that down. He said, we're spending money on...
Okay, you know what I always say to people like that? Okay, first of all, how does the national debt impact you as a person?
Well, I don't know how to get around this, so I don't want to say this terribly to anybody, you know, and I apologize ahead of time if I say it bad, but when I talk to him, of course, the first thing he wants to bring up is everybody that's on these federal programs.
Sure.
That was his answer, is that he's paying for these federal programs.
Is he?
That's what he said, you know.
Okay.
So, I didn't know how to tiptoe around, but that's what his answer was. He said, there's so many people on these.
So, and I'm okay with that, but okay, so how do you solve it?
Well, of course, I'm not going to use the language he used, but he said, get a blank job, you know.
Okay, where are they? McDonald's? Is he going to give up his?
Yeah.
Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Scott, it's Gale.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm delighted that you're feeling better today and you didn't burn down the library.
You
or
didn't...
at least throw a bomb into the Ohio River.
You know, Terry, you didn't hear that Friday, did you?
No.
Oh, yes. Well...
I'll tell you better watch out there. He had a temper.
Was he? Did you get him, you get him wound up Friday, did you?
Oh, he did.
It was good radio, wasn't it?
It was good radio.
Yes.
I found an amusing thing. I was watching Channel 10, and my wife insists that I watch Wheel of Fortune, or Price is Right with her. And then I always watch a little bit of the news. And it shows Hillary meeting in New York. She was wearing an army camouflage outfit. When did she join? That's as bad as you remember Dukakis getting in the tank.
Oh, boy, we love that picture of Dukakis in that tank and that hat.
Yeah.
Holy
mackerel. He reached to the top of the... But here was Hillary wearing an army uniform. What is that about, you know?
You know, I don't know. But, you know, Gale, you're a gentleman who follows things that's going on. When was America great? Tell us that great period.
I'll tell you the truth. It was duller than mud. But the Eisenhower administration. Now, it had bad things. It had Joe McCarthy and all that nonsense and the blacklisting of people and...
Separate but equal?
Yeah. But it was kinder. People weren't as rude as they are today, or just plain gross.
But don't you think that's...
People, now, I know a black person in the South suffered. It was bad. But it wasn't the nonsense of the day.
Don't you think, though, a lot of the that's morals, and I don't know how a president fixes morals by eliminating the national debt.
No, it just makes people feel better. Time magazine. My wife is on record as subscribing to Time, although I pay for them. But they told her she owed $42,994. To pay her share of the federal debt.
Yeah.
That's a little outrageous, you know.
It is, but you know, unfortunately, that was ran up. That's been run up since Reagan. That's when it all started.
Oh, I know.
And nobody, you know, it's interesting because we had 8 years of Republican with Reagan, 4 years of Republican with H.W. Bush, 8 years of Democrat with Clinton, 8 years of Republican with W. Bush, and now 8 years of Democrat with Obama, and not one of them ever stopped borrowing money.
Nope. The closest was Clinton. He did, I think, balance the budget 1 year, maybe.
He did. Well, basically what he did was stop, he did not have to borrow any more money.
Yeah.
Which created the payment plan not be as big. But I'm glad to hear you enjoyed the radio Friday, and I'm glad I'm back to normal today.
Yeah, well, I did make a, you know, we got to talking about Harding there, and I'll tell you, that irritates me. Harding has already been honored more than he deserved.
You know,
he was a bad president. Okay, it's like you know, you only got one kid, and that kid's a total jerk. But since he's your kid, you love him. I think that's the case of Harding and Marion.
Well, it's true, but as I said on Friday, and I think maybe this is the point, is that we've had 44 presidents. There were only 44 cities in the country that can say they had a president from there. And even if you're the dead last worst, that's you're still ahead of thousands and thousands of cities that never have had one.
He already has the big monument on the four corners of death, as my daughter refers to it as.
Well, and
his home is still there. And the idea that they're going to make money from people wanting to see Harding's library.
Well, that'll remain to be seen. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous to assume that's going to happen.
But what do you think about the story that was about his grandson not even being told that was going on?
Wrong.
He was unhappy.
Who's actually pushing the thing?
That's an interesting question because Sherry Hull's over at the Harding home. She's the curator there. And then you have a gentleman from the Ohio Historical Society, which they, you know, have possession of the site, who was down there last week. And two Harding great nephews were at the unveiling last week, and I know they donated money to it. I mean, it's a private enterprise. And when it comes to private enterprise, if there's no public money going to it, if they want to build it, go ahead.
Yeah, I think people could invest in something a little better than that, though. You know, one thing that Charlie said that I don't think was quite correct, based on the biography of Florence. It's my impression that her dad started the Star, and Harding just went to work for it. He later became editor and owner through his marriage. But I don't think he started the Star, did he?
I think he did start it, but I think he worked for her paper. I think her father's paper, which was a different paper. But but you know what the bug of me is that I'm not saying Harding was the greatest president ever, and you know what, I didn't live when he was here, so I can't speak to it firsthand, and not too many people can at this point. But
the
point is that he did do things that never get brought up. If you say Harding, the first thing is Teapot Dome and affairs. But the truth of the matter is he did establish the VA, which is a social program, and coming from a Republican president, that's awful bizarre, and that program still exists today. And also, just as a human being, Woodrow Wilson, before him, a Democrat, threw Eugene Debs in the clink, who had run for president, just for speaking out against World War I, and Harding is the one who pardoned him.
You know, maybe if Hillary goes to prison, it wouldn't be bad because Debs got 971,000 votes while incarcerated.
But think about that. Debs was not a threat to anybody. Debs was a very popular guy. You just spoke to his votes.
Yeah.
Debs
was also the only
crime he committed was speaking out against the war. And at that time, because the way the law, there had been a law enacted of 1812 that was still in effect. Or 1912, I think it was. But anyway, Harding, one of the first things he did was pardon him and get him out of jail. The Democrat wouldn't do it. Wilson didn't. Harding did.
That may have been more of a rebuff to Wilson than actually a good thing. You know, in other words, doing it just because he's a good guy. I think that was to put out the word that Wilson's a jerk and he should never have done this and we're going to fix it.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I think I don't know that Wilson was a jerk, but during the last days of his presidency, he also was not compos mentis, we now know, after those strokes.
No, his wife sort of ran the thing.
So maybe his wife did not like Debs.
Now Wilson had already put him in jail, I think.
It was unfortunate, though, but I always find it interesting that Harding was the one who pardoned Debs, because he didn't have to do that. And I'm sure his Republican cronies were advising him against that.
No, there are 971,000 votes that are sitting out there that he would like to have for the next election, you know.
And the heart attack or the food poisoning or the murder, however you want to talk about it, stop that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very strange. He actually died outside the country, didn't he? He'd gone up to Alaska, which was just a territory at that time.
Absolutely.
And it's on the way back that he died, I understand.
Yeah, well,
but no, he had balls, and Wilson was terrible. Wilson tried to resegregate Princeton.
Yeah.
I mean, it was desegregated, and Wilson wanted it back the way it was. He liked it that way. He was a total jerk.
Well, just remember, and again, I'll talk about good things of Eisenhower, the interstate highway, talking about the military-industrial complex, the things he did in World War II. You know what people?
He turned Korea into a negotiated truce that's lasted since 1953.
Absolutely, but what did he also do? Campaign for Eugene McCarthy during the Blacklist era.
Not Eugene.
Joe McCarthy. He campaigned for Joe McCarthy during that. And he also, while it was going on, if anybody could have put a stop to it, the president could have, and he didn't.
But I tell you, it was a lot. Just living was a lot calmer at this point.
And also, you know, and this is something else I put against Eisenhower. Brown versus the Board of Education, which desegregated everything, happened in Eisenhower's administration, and Eisenhower would not sign the bill. That's why schools...
Eisenhower did send the troops to Little Rock, though.
He did it on a minority basis to keep the peace, but when the Supreme Court said, this is not just anymore, Eisenhower would not make that law. He would not force those schools to get rid of those fountains.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Eisenhower had his good points, but I think he also was...
He wasn't a great president, but the era in which he lived was a lot less worrisome. Although, I guess we did have the...
I'd be worried if I was a communist.
Yeah, well, we did have our drills at school, you know, you jump under the desk when the atom bomb hits, and all that.
But, you know... You can't blame that part on Eisenhower, but you can certainly...
No.
You can certainly blame... campaigning for Joe McCarthy and not putting an end to the witch trials, and you can also blame him for not signing Brown versus the Board of Education.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he didn't do it. I don't know. He might have been a little out of it at the end, but that's the way it goes. But thank you for your opinion as always.
Absolutely.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you make of that? Hillary's out there in fatigues.
Well, the way I look at it, don't we see a lot of people anymore? I mean, I watched the Academy, the American or some kind of music awards, and there was some. I think Stevie Wonder was in fatigues, wasn't he?
I don't know. So another thing I think to hit Hillary with.
Yeah, I just.
What do you think about the new Harding Center? We haven't had a chance to talk about it. $7.3 million.
I just want to see how that's going to generate the economy. You know, how it's going to.
Well, it's private, though.
Yeah.
We can say that it was not no tax money's going into that. Just like if you want to build a house, build a house.
I thought I was under the impression that there was some that only 1.85 million of it was private.
I don't think they've raised all the money yet.
Mm.
I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think there's public money going there.
Okay, I thought there was a grant or something that they were getting.
Well, I think a grant is not taxpayer dollars.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay.
But anyway, moving on, the big story last week was they didn't even call old Jim Blessing, Harding's grandson, in to be a part of it.
Man, that's, oh. Once again, that's a slap in the face.
He wasn't happy.
I don't blame him, man.
He came on the show last week and was not happy about that.
Did he give a little tirade, did he?
Well, basically he said, you know, you did this to my grandmother, now you're doing this to me, and you've backed me into a corner, and when you back a dog into a corner, they're going to bite.
They're going to bite, yep. Here it comes. I mean, I think he's going to drop the hammer eventually here. And
can't be happy.
No.
You missed my tirade about the library on Friday.
Yeah.
That was a real...
What was it?
Well...
About the Marion Public Library?
Marion Public Library,
okay.
Yes. Well, I'm going to take you back in time.
Okay.
Because this did cause her with everybody. The exchange on Friday was Marge Hazlett, Sean Kraft, Charlie Evers, Charlie's grandson, and me. And here's how it started, and also...
The
I'll,
grandson from Germ, the... German,
No.
The younger one is younger.
Oh, what's his name?
Brandon.
Okay. Brandon McAfee.
Okay.
Okay, here's how the program started on Friday, and then it also got back to the end, but here we go.
today, the Exchange Club.
Hey, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is not only a getaway Friday, April the 15th, it is tax day, and it is beautiful outside here in Marion, Ohio. We are going to top 70 degrees today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and no rain in that forecast. You get ready for a great weekend, and we are going to have a great time because for the first time in quite a while, our five microphones, if you count me, here in the WWGH studio for the Exchange Club are full this week. Sean Kraft is back after a 6-week hiatus for a minor surgery.
What is a hiatus? Is that a Latin term?
The back of the front atus.
But Marge, you know what
a Marge was in medicine?
I thought that was.
That's what I thought, yeah. Sure.
Hiatus is a medicine?
No, it's not a medicine. It's the backside.
Oh.
Your backside of your body.
You know, you're going in the back. That's what a hiatus is.
A hiatus?
Is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad to know that. Marge Hazlett, our new regular panelist here for the last few weeks, and we're very glad to have her. And she's got two other shows on the station. Charlie's got another show, but it's on 3 times a week. Be on after this show. Marge's show, Talk of the Town, Monday, 2:10 to 3 o'clock. And Over Coffee with Marge and Martha on Tuesday mornings from 10:10 to noon, which Sean sits in on that. It's a real 9. But Marianne will be back. And then did want to say that this will be baby grandchildren.
That's
You've
right,
got
man.
Grandchildren that had local connotation. But the first thing I want to do is just get a little, I'm a little peeved, so I'm going to get this out of the way. Now, I like the Marion Public Library as much as anybody. I like to go there. I was there this morning. Now, this morning I went to look up the microfilm because that's where the microfilm for the Marion Star is stored.
Mm-hmm.
Got up early this morning, left the house, you know, before 9 o'clock so I could get there, so I could still get here on time. Wanted to search the day that the president... Nan Britton's book came out, see if the Star covered it.
Yeah.
Wanted to search the 1920 convention where Harding got the thing. I wrote the dates down this morning. I was so ready. And I go to the library, and they're having their book sale, and they won't let you in the Ohio room.
Oh.
And I went to that director, and I said, listen, I'm with the radio station. I want it for a story today.
She said, so what?
She said, too bad. Come back on Monday.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you something. Why is that room closed? Why does having a book sale have to close that room?
Maybe they're rearranging it.
No, I looked at it. It's a tiny room.
Oh.
It's just behind the counter where they're doing the checkout.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll give them a plus. It is a tremendous book sale. Lots of stuff there. $2 a hardback. I bought 4 books.
A lot of National Geographics.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of those.
Really?
No, records, CDs, DVDs, VHS, books on everything, cooking, biographies, and it runs this entire weekend. And by the way, the lady told me on the way out, she said on Sunday you can bring a bag, and for $3, as many books as you get in the bag, you can go with.
Hmm.
So they have religious books, the whole spiel. So that's the plus for them. But listen, do not close the Ohio room. That is so stupid.
I tell you, if you get over to the Marion County Historical Society, you could actually read the real newspaper.
I'm going to have to because, you know what, but they don't keep regular hours, do they?
I don't know what the hours are right now. If Fred Malone is listening, he could tell
what
us.
What are the hours? Can I get in the building, Fred? And also, can I photocopy them? That's the big thing.
I don't know.
I can't remember from memory and bring them back here. That's going to be the big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fred, if you're listening, Gail, Martin, if you're out there listening, I want a photocopy machine, and I want the book, and the library can kiss my hiatus today, because I am not very happy with that group.
He learned a new word.
And there you go. That was where it started. Now, it did continue to the end of the program. This is going to get me in trouble to play this again, but why not, since we're having so much fun today recounting what happened on Friday on this show. And here we go. Let's see if we can catch up with this here. Oops, here we go. Got to unplug the thing first. Here we are.
Tree thing as a senior prank.
What a going away present you leave somebody. We're going to blow you all up.
Well, remember the trees that were cut down at River Valley High School?
Oh, you know what?
That's the senior.
You know what? Knock those trees down. I'm sorry to say. That was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. They cut down some trees. Plant some new ones.
They're expensive.
Oh, they're trees.
Trees are
but
not
they
cheap.
They were dedicated, you know, those trees are placed in honor of certain individuals.
Oh, do you care, Charlie? They're dead. I mean, honest to God. Oh, my. Do you care?
Well, it's Washington, but look at the obelisk that
is erected. Eber Baker, the man who founded this town, people are parking on top of him at the Popcorn Festival. Oh, no. Knock the trees down.
Well, go ahead. Harding's dead, and you're worried about him.
No, I'm not worried about him.
You trying to celebrate his life?
I'm not saying knock the Harding home down, but if somebody vandalizes it, trees... what is this with memory? This was a topic we were going to talk about today now. Now there's a thing that lawyers are dealing with. Who do you leave your social media account to? This is being put in wills now. This is like trees. If the person's not buried under the tree, tear the thing down, put it away. I'm sorry. Put a picture of them up somewhere. You're going to put kids in jail who are just doing a prank because... Do you think the kids really said to themselves, hey, Joe Smith, hey, this tree's dedicated to him. Let's hack that thing up. That didn't happen.
But trees are not cheap.
No, they're not.
And it's against the law.
It's against the law to tear a tree down?
Yes.
What is that?
It was against the law for them to do that. And it's a wonder they didn't end up in... long terms in jail.
But that is so ridiculous that we have a heroin problem and we have a law that we're going to lock people up for knocking down a tree.
That's right.
No, they didn't want one tree. They did a lot.
And well, they did it with chainsaws right in front of surveillance cameras.
Well, then obviously they were...
I mean, you talk about dumb.
They wanted the job done.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it illegal to dedicate a tree to somebody on private property, on a public school ground? That sounds a little illegal to me. Let's get the books and handcuff the principal. Take him out.
Gee.
Well, yeah, I'm tired of everything today. I just have no sympathy for anything.
This guy's riding with a burr under his saddle.
It all started with that library this morning. And made of paper.
That really got him off.
Books are made of trees from paper and take the trees down and move them out. There we go. We talk bad about President Harding today, you know.
Oh, my.
God bless these people.
Bad about you here pretty soon.
It's going to come. I know. I'm going to part the airwaves here in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, hey, leave it up. Yeah.
Leave it up to you, Charlie. You can field all the calls. Hey, you're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
There.
Go ahead.
Hey, do you mind if for my senior prank I throw a bowling ball through your plate glass window there?
Well, I'm alive. After I'm dead, do what you want.
Well, I can't wait that long.
No, if I'm dead, you can go knock my tombstone down. You can do it. I could care less. I'm dead. You could throw my ashes on top of those dead trees out there. I could care less.
But you think that nobody would care for you. Maybe there's people that actually care for you.
You're dead, Charlie. You're gone.
That's all right.
It's over.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, you sound like you need a good, big, long drink. Relaxation.
You don't want to commemorate everybody.
He needs one.
There should be a month where the whole world stops and we all sit at home and relax.
He needs something, too, like the gal on the television commercial that runs around with a bodysuit showing her bowels and advertising, I love my lax.
No, my bowels are fine today. No problem with the bowels. Thank you, caller. Oh, my goodness. Listen, my bowels are okay. But why do we have to commemorate everything? Listen, Charlie, this telephone is commemorated in memory of somebody who died yesterday, and if anybody messes with this phone, we're going to throw them in the clink. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Do you care when you're dead, Marge?
I really truly don't know what it's like to be dead.
No, but you care. Would you look back and say, geez, they cut down that tree?
Well, I like trees.
No, but I...
Mainly... When you do something to commemorate someone, it's for your own, mind.
It's for your own mind.
Not for anybody else, but yourself.
It's your own mind, and I understand
it's called the grieving.
But plant it on your own property.
Or is it mourning? There are two terms.
I think it's grieving.
Yeah, grieving.
Why do we grieve? And this is the problem we have in this country. Maybe we should do it on grieving one day. Because that tree commemorated in the name of whoever is no different than the tree you chopped down to throw in your fireplace. I mean, is it?
But it's
all wood.
No, it's a memory. It's something that people thought enough of.
It's a symbol.
Oh, keep her jewelry or keep his coat. Everything's dedicated to somebody nowadays.
Everybody can tear up the arch to get
the jewelry. Yeah. Well, they could throw a plate glass window. I think you could throw a plate glass window through the mall right now. Nobody'd see a thing.
Debbie Rowland would.
She might. No, this is so silly, so stupid. You can dedicate anything to anybody. Do you really believe in that, Charlie?
I'm sure glad I got up today. I would have missed all this.
It's a good day, isn't it? It's a good day to be here.
I'm glad he went to the library this morning.
I don't... Well, you can't get in that Ohio room, I'll tell you that.
Fired up going to the library. Let's all go down today.
Well, yeah, let's go.
Who was that room donated in the name of?
You know, that's another big thing. If you got enough money, you can get anything donated to your name.
Well, I should.
Oliver, there is a building in Marion with my name.
That's right. Now, would you be broken?
I forgot about that.
God forbid if that barn went down. Would you really lose sleep over that?
No. But if you
no,
go out,
and that's the answer. There it was.
If
no.
you go out to the Guthrie Center at OSUM,
the Guthrie Center,
named after Madge.
Yeah.
And all the corridors in there and the different rooms are named after donors.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I don't want my room knocked down.
No, but I love. Listen,
you know, no kidding.
No, Hal and I do.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right. And it's well deserved. And as well as Madge's room was well deserved. Nobody loved Madge more than I. But Madge is not here anymore. She doesn't care now.
So did they take her name off the building then?
You know, I wouldn't do it. But you know, the truth of the matter is, whether they do or don't, Madge doesn't care. Madge is not here.
Oh, boy.
Well, maybe she would.
It's 1 o'clock.
Is it? We're done? Oh, darn. We were having so much fun.
Whatever. Well, let me finish this. I mean, you can't answer for her.
She's not here. Nobody can.
And that's what I'm saying.
So how can you say one way or the other?
No, but you just said
Madge
wouldn't care.
If Madge calls in and then lets us know if she would care, we will let you know next week. She'd appreciate this because it's a radio broadcast. You worked with her, Jay. You know. That's all.
Oh,
we're
boy.
Done. Faye Bank Charlie Evers show coming up next. And that was Friday, Terry. What
wow.
do you think? Got a little.
That sounds like you got a little.
Got a little hot. Okay, we got a caller. Go ahead. Oh, we don't have a caller. Okay, if that was you, caller, give me a call back. I'll take you. No, am I wrong?
You're 100% right. If I'm dead, I can care less what you do.
I mean, this whole thing, I mean, I understand if the family, and let me say this, I'll retract to this point. If the families of the people who those trees were knocked down heard the show and are angry, I understand that. Okay,
right.
I understand that. But the person who was dead, they don't care.
Yeah.
They're dead. I'm sorry. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
George Washington cut down a cherry tree, and they're still talking about it
exactly.
how many hundreds of years later.
Heaven forbid. You know, honest to goodness, do you understand any of this?
Yeah, I do. They, in fact, my niece had a tree in her honor when she died. They planted one at the palace, and it's still there.
Well, And let me say this, and I understand that. I understand why people do it. I get it. I'm not denying that. But if 5 years later or 10 years later that tree gets cut down or there's a car wreck and it gets run over or they move the building, you know, you might care because it's your niece, and I understand that. I would care too. But your niece, she's doing better things right now.
But to what you said about the tree not being worth anything, it's public property, and you damage public property, and that's a crime.
Yeah, but you know, if the trees had not been commemorated for anybody, that would not.
No, even if they weren't, you damage somebody's public property or private property.
Pranks
then that's a crime.
Well, okay.
They should be.
Well, let me lay it to you in this way. Many years, pranks go on, and the people in the school know they're going on. Now, I have known when people have gotten in the school at night. Now, that would be breaking and entering. I never heard of anybody being jailed or charges brought of them for that in Marion. It happens every year. People have gone in schools, and they have opened up lockers, cut the locks off all the lockers. That's breaking and entering and destroying public property. I've never heard charges brought against anybody for that, for a senior prank.
Well, there was down, and I think it was... Was it Pickerington? One of the schools in Columbus.
But not in Marion.
They went in and superglued.
And they brought
those kids up on charges.
And that is stupid. Because what they're doing is a prank. The school knows the prank's going to happen. And I'll tell you how the school knows a prank's going to happen. Because after it happens, they're the first ones to run out and say, well, this was a senior prank. So, you know, th-
notice, if those trees had not been commemorated, if they had just chopped down trees, and you can go out and buy a tree at Kroger for $10 and go plant it out there, just re-commemorate it. They're not buried there.
So if I get my trees trimmed, am I in trouble?
Now, heaven forbid, have they ever trimmed those trees out there? Now, is that just partial going to jail? I mean, you go to prison if you cut it down. Now, if you trim it and hedge
you
it,
you just go to the county jail.
You just go to the county jail for a few days.
Sheriff Bailey comes
to that's all being a curator, though.
It's a what?
When you trim it, you do a good job on the tree. So
what if the what if the curator cuts the tree down?
Then he can go to jail, yes.
I guess, see, it's
Sheriff Bailey comes and gets you.
Sheriff Bailey, stick with the drug problem. Don't worry about the trees.
Yeah, we got the trees under control.
It was okay to cut it down.
We got the trees under control.
Thank you for calling in. It's true, George Washington did this 200 years ago, and he still hasn't got out from under it.
Oh, my God.
I'll carry it around for the rest of my life. Honest to goodness.
You'll be known as the Arbor Day, or the Arbor...
You know what? The library ticked me off, and I like the library more than anybody else.
I've been up here numerous times when they've done stuff like that.
Well, I don't do that.
You couldn't get in one time for the computers because they were doing a blood drive. No, why do you have to do a blood drive right in the middle of the...
I hope that when the library, when I die... which could be soon, because I might be knocked out going off this building. When I die, I hope the library commemorates something in my name, and that way, public property, if you do anything with it. You know what? It's true in this town. Eber Baker, the founder of Marion, and I have never seen irrefutable evidence of this, is buried in the first cemetery in Marion. The first cemetery in Marion was abandoned years ago. Now, they say Eber Baker was moved, but let's say he wasn't. I don't believe he was.
The one on Corey Street.
People park on that cemetery during the popcorn festival. Well, I'll tell you what, Sheriff Bailey, or the Marion Police Department, during the popcorn festival, I'll come pick you up, and let's go arrest about 30 people who are parking on
people. And refund all that money that they charge.
Well, God forbid those people under there, they're probably all ticked off.
Exactly. Wasn't there some Civil War veterans under there?
And how many things have been knocked over in that thing?
Oh, it's vandalized.
But you know why people don't care? All their family members are dead.
Yeah.
All their family members are dead. Nobody cares.
Nobody dedicated anything.
Maybe we should rededicate the thing so we can start locking people up. So stupid. Yeah, and Taft Middle School was dedicated to some teachers who died. They didn't waste any time knocking that place over.
Boy, there's a nice garden up there now.
Yeah, I've knocked them right over. I guess what? Yeah, everybody go out to Taft Middle School. Find out the construction company that knocked it over. Lock them up.
Yep. Maybe you can put that on his platform he's running on this, you know.
I swear. Yeah, I'm Sheriff Bailey, and I will not let you chop down trees in this town. You chop a tree down,
you're going to jail.
You
buddy.
Are going to have an orange suit before you know it.
I love it.
So dumb.
I love it.
So dumb.
We always focus on the small things. Man.
Isn't that so trite in life? And you know, it is for the people who are living. You know, if you're dead, do you care?
I can care less.
I'll tell you, my last words on my deathbed are going to be, please commemorate a tree in my name.
Yeah.
These people don't care.
They can care less.
And why a tree?
Yeah.
Why a tree?
Because they can come out and see it maybe every year. But what if it gets like 20 below zero?
So in the meantime, nobody's going to the cemetery where they are buried.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
What if it gets 20 below zero? Does the tree die? I mean...
I just have... In winter, you're going to... I tell you what, Mother Nature's got room for handcuffs because in the winter, she's defacing things.
Absolutely.
Oh,
these high
man.
Winds and stuff. And
see, it happened again today. This will be another show we'll get hate mail for.
You got to throw this one in the case.
Oh, my goodness. This will go in the archive.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you call in and say anything bad about this show, that's a crime. You're defacing
that's
this
right.
show. This is a public show.
We're dedicated
to this. This show is dedicated to all the people who don't care about
trees.
So here you go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion, call in and share it. The Pal Psychic Lynn White coming up 10 after 1 o'clock. If we have any listeners left, we might have knocked them all out there.
Yeah.
So do you understand what Gail was talking about from Friday?
Yeah, now I get what he's saying.
You know where it
but
went.
But I know the first call for Gail is going to be, can you predict if they're going to be on the air or not tomorrow after they make these comments?
Holy mackerel.
She'll spend her whole hour trying to figure out where.
It's ridiculous to me that caused a stir, and apparently it was something people remembered.
with everything else going on in the world.
That's what their people are going to focus in on.
We are worried about trees.
That and the Harding Museum.
And the Harding Museum.
Biggest things in the world.
What is this museum going to entail?
Books, papers, things on display, I would imagine.
I mean, are people going to schedule their summer vacations around coming to Marion to this museum?
Are there going to be any trees there?
They better be dedicated.
Dedicated. I think we ought to plant a tree there dedicated to Nan Britton and Carrie Phillips.
Absolutely.
Well, they're apart.
Let's do it.
They knew him well.
Absolutely.
They were very well known.
I think Jim Blessing's on board.
Jim Blessing would probably go for that one. So let's get it done.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I wonder if we can get the Arbor Day Foundation to give us some money on that or something.
Beautiful. You know, Marge Hazelitz, she was here for that. She'll be on today. Well, no, she was on during that show.
Oh, okay.
She'll be here today at 2:10. You'll have to ask her about that. Marge's guest today is Nan Weir, by the way, from the Women's Club.
Okay.
Find out what's been dedicated there that they've changed.
Yeah.
Hey, the Florence Harding, the Abigail Harding. The Abigail Harding gymnasium was altered when they were doing renovations.
Company.
Yep. Sorry, it's been changed now. You can't do it. Stay tuned. 10 minutes. We're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, for legendary comedian Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, 2 times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to, and I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And along the way, she did a lot of great game shows and television series and worked with people like Jimmy Durante, Gloria Swanson, Danny Thomas, Sid Caesar. The list goes on and on. She is amazing. The amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Now I'm going to have to be a because you said so much about me nice. but I'll tell you, Scott, it's one of the easiest things in the world. And I wish with all the things they have going on about doing this and doing that, if we were all just more kind to each other. Think of yourself in relationship to other people. And they go through the same things you do. And just be kind. It's so easy, it's so simple, and I've seen rooms change because somebody was kind. And that's a great impact.
Pat, as we end this interview, and I always hate to say goodbye, but you say you love to sing, I love your voice. Can you give us a little line of something as we part ways here?
Of what, a song?
Any song you like.
Did you ever go into an Irishman's shanty where whiskey is whist? And the boozeberry is plenty. The table is set with a door and a hatch in the door. The house is shut with a latch.
Pat Carroll, I adore you. Please come back
anytime. I adore you back, Scott. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking like for exclusive content.
Hemmerly's Flowers and Gifts, address 615 East Center Street here in Marion. Telephone number 740-387-1163. Website hemmerliesflowers.com is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio.
This is Scott Spears inviting you to join me and broadcasting legends Marianne Michaels and Charlie Evers every Friday from 12:10 to 1 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM for Over Coffee. It's a program roundtable discussion in which we discuss politics, music, entertainment news, books, Broadway, history, and anything that's on your mind. And all you have to do is call 740-383-9944 to get in on the conversation.
Yeah, Hillary needs a new hairdo, though, I'll say that.
See, you would never say that about a man.
No.
You would never say a man needs a new hairdo.
And that upsets me, Charlie.
Yeah, why would you say
Hillary,
that?
No, Hillary, her hair isn't very creative. I mean, sometimes it is long, straight long. And she could look $1 million better with a good hairdresser.
Well, why don't you write her a letter and tell her that?
Yes. Well,
We'll also be giving away a $10 gift card to Kroger each and every Friday when a trivia question is asked. So if you have the answer, call 740-383-9944, and the gift card to Kroger is yours. And just when you thought there couldn't be any more, if you come to the WWGH studios located in the Marion Center Mall across from the PNC Bank, you can have donuts, coffee, and orange juice provided by Kroger. Just stop in Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. Do you think there is going to be a day when people live to be 148?
Yes. Oh, I don't know about 148.
Hope not.
That's outrageous.
That's too long.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine what you'd look
imagine
like?
Imagine what they look like, the wrinkles.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, it'd be terminal wrinkles.
Oh, I wouldn't like that.
It's Over Coffee with Scott Spears, Marianne Michaels, and Charlie Evers every Friday from 12:10 to 1 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Don't miss it.
Hello and welcome into the Sports Minute on 107.1 FM WWGH. I'm Jared Moore. Cleveland Indians outfielder Michael Brantley looks like he will be back with the Tribe here soon. Brantley took an important step in his comeback from right shoulder surgery in the offseason. Brantley will begin a rehab assignment with minor league AAA Columbus. Brantley will probably need to play games before being activated from the disabled list. Speaking of the Tribe,